it's hilarious. As I was drafting this outline for today's call, I was like, you know, nothing like presenting really bad news, but being really excited about it, right? I mean, when you think about recession, most people don't get really wound up and excited, but I'm going to suggest to all of you that you ought to be getting really wound up and really excited about it. And the reason is, first of all, let's just look at, you know, why do we get excited about recessions? And recessions are bad times. It's a downturn in the economy. It's, you know, people lose jobs, they lose earnings, they lose hope, they lose security. The stock market drops, they lose their savings. It's all about loss. It's all about what we're going to lose during a recession. But the incredible aspect of recessionary times is if you look at the history of this country, and you can go back as early as the 30s. I started the analysis and the outline back in the 50s, but, you know, network marketing actually started back earlier than that. You can, and it ties back to those dates, but it was really the 50s where the network marketing boom started really taking off, so that's why I chose those dates. But it's really incredible how whenever we've had an economic downturn, a recessionary pressures in this country, and we watched, of course, from recessions become high unemployment rates, and high unemployment rates meant gigantic booms in the network marketing industry, which is just, you know, a natural progression. So we can look at what's going to transpire in 2008, 2009, as gigantic opportunities for us out in the network marketing business to expand and grow our business and bring solutions to people, solutions that people desperately need to hear about and know about. Because another thing I read, you know, in reading some articles in support of this outline, one of the things that I read that I found so fascinating, it said that, you know, one of our big problems in one of our big problems in network marketing is that we keep going out there and telling people what they need. Well, first, people don't want to hear what they need. None of us really, human nature isn't that I want somebody to come and tell me what I need, okay? That's human nature. We build up a wall against that. We get defensive. And so for those of you trying to do that, you can tell why people are defensive around you, because immediately when you tell somebody what they need, you're inflicting your opinion on their lives, and they get defensive about it. So you got to be careful on that approach. But this article that I read not only went to need, but they said it's not even that we tell them what they need, but most people don't even necessarily want to buy what they need. They rather buy what they want. Okay, so it's a difference between need and want. So I always tell people there's a need fulfillment business, and this article kind of went against my approach on that, and I haven't thought it all the way through. I'm just throwing this out for you guys to grapple with, but the concept that a person would rather buy what they want than what they need. Now, if you look at our normal buying behavior, you can probably suggest that's true. If we've talked to people about health, even if they say they need the health products, they're going to go out and buy their plasma TV before they're going to buy an all-star pack, because they want to buy what they want, not what they necessarily need. Does that make sense to you guys? So what he did is he took this one step further. He said one of our big problems is that network marketing as an industry has been a churning industry. We keep going out there and signing up other network marketers in our new gig, or our, you know, like Manatech people are signing up people that used to be in Amway or used to, and we just keep churning networkers, okay? So what we're doing is we're not showing our product, what we have, to people that have never been exposed to network marketing. And I'm one of those exact people. No one ever presented network marketing to me in my life, and until I came across Manatech. But the intriguing part is that if we're not out there showing people and educating people what's available in networking, then we're not able to create the want. We're not be able to show them what they might want, which is a stream of residual income. And so the issue becomes for us is, instead of going out and constantly aiming at people's needs, why aren't we showing them something that they will, once they see it, they will really want it. They'll desire it. They'll want it, instead of presenting it as a need fulfillment, I think. And so it's just a different concept, and I throw that out there just to let you kind of play with that and toy with that in your head, and maybe it'll help you with the way you approach, you know, the income aspect of Manatech. But looking through recessionary times, let's just go through the history, and you can read through this and you can do your own research on it. But in the 1950s, in the early 50s, we saw no network marketing companies were talking about. In the late 1950s, Shackley, Neolife, Amway all came out from 1956 to 1959. The unemployment rate was very low in the first half of the 1950s, so expectedly there's not a lot of demand for, you know, alternative, you know, income streams and alternative sources of which I say working experiences and alternative ways of bringing in income. But in the last half of the 1950s, the unemployment rate was highest since the Great Depression in 1958, and that unemployment rate was 0.8% in 1958. So you can see that all these companies took off and exploded in late 50s, again, tied to the unemployment rate and the recessionary trends. 1960s, same thing. In the early 1960s, all network marketing continued to flourish with the advent of Mary Kay and 63 and Avon and Tupperware and Fuller Brush. All of them achieved incredible momentum. In the late 1960s, we saw a softening in the network marketing industry. No new companies came out of any significance. The unemployment rate, if you traced it, in the first half of the decade, the unemployment was high. In the second half of the 1960s, 2.5 million of those workers were back in work in the second half of the 1960s. So you saw a tremendous collapse of the unemployment rate, and thus, with full employment, a lesser emphasis on network marketing. In the 80s, we saw the same, you know, thing flourish again. In the first half, network marketing really flourished. In the second half of the decade, it softened again, and with many of the network marketing fiascos occurring. And when they start looking at some of these lawsuits that came out in the late 1980s, there were twice as many lawsuits in the second half of the 1980s as there were in the first half. And many times those lawsuits are triggered because when people get overreaching, they just start doing things that are, you know, inappropriate, and that's what triggers a lot of legal attention on them, kind of like. But you see that people really overreach and they overtest. And so if you look back at the 1980s, you have this big boom in the first half, kind of a slacking in the second half. In the first half, the unemployment rate reached the highest level in 40 years at 9.7% in the early 80s. Well, at the end of the 1980s, there is about half the number of people out of work as they were in the 1980s, so that unemployment rate dropped significantly. In the 90s, the same kind of trend occurred again. In the early 1990s, huge momentum in the industry. In fact, as quoted by Network Marketing Lifestyles in the 2000, it said there was more wealth created by way of MLM from 1990 to 1994 than any other time in history. And of course, if you look at what happened with our unemployment rate in the early 1990s, the unemployment rate was very high, and then in the later 1990s, it hit a 30-year low of 4.2%, and we saw the same kind of drag down on network marketing. They even suggest that network marketing from 96 to 99 actually went through a network marketing recession. That's what they call that time period. And I didn't mention the 1970s because some people look at it. I looked at two different aspects of this. Some people look at it as an identical trend of it, and you can see where the trend does go up. In the early 1970s, we had high unemployment rates, and in the first half of the 1970s, and we saw, you know, incredible growth in the early 1970s. But what happened in the later half of the 1970s, when we still had some recessionary trends, you would have thought that would have kept the growth would have kept going on. But because there were so many lawsuits filed, and the big one, of course, was the Amway case, and all of you are familiar with that, where really the whole concept of network marketing, the very existence of network marketing was being challenged, and that case didn't settle until 1979. So with all the legal disputes going on and the high publicity around the legality of network marketing, that was a greater dampening effect on the industry versus whether it was a recessionary time or not. But in the first half of the 70s, again, through 73 and 75, many MLM companies' growth took off like crazy as well. So you can still tie the first part of the 1970s into that whole scenario. So with all of that history just consistently being the same, and, of course, it's pretty self-evident, but we can look at where we headed in 2008. And if you need information on this, if you don't see a recession looming, I could give you, there's a zillion articles out there. The recessionary prospects of recession in 2008 really started developing more momentum in terms of written articles from, you know, top economists, top investment banking firms, all these kind of people. Back in 2007, we started seeing a lot of concern about recession as early as, like, I think the first articles I started seeing were maybe in the summer of last year. And of course, a lot of this was trended because of what we saw in the housing crisis and then the interest rates and the credit crunch that's going on with, you know, excess of spending and all these things that were happening, and they said people are just getting strapped and it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter and their screws are pulling down. And when you start seeing consumer spending start dropping and falling off, that's truly one of the greatest signs of recession. And we started seeing that. In fact, all the concerns about Christmas being the lowest amounts being spent and Christmas time, that's a big issue, and people tracing all of that, those statistics. And then we had, of course, in starting off this year, we had a number of major firms that came out and said, you know, we're definitely going to see a recession. Goldman Sachs put out an article in January 9th that said, you know, no question, you know, expected the U.S. economy to drop into recession this year, prompting the Federal Reserve to slash their benchmark lending rates. And they talked about the gross domestic product would, you know, contract by 1% for 2008. And they felt that the GDP would rise by less than 1%, 0.8%, so a huge drop in our gross domestic product production. The unemployment rate, they're projecting, will rise up between 6.5% and 7% through the end of 2008 and 2009 from the current that we see it at 5%. So the weakening economy is upon us. Everybody's projecting it, and so we have no question in my mind that we're going to see these recessionary trends continue for a while. The other thing that is going to probably hurt this economy somewhat, too, is the retraction in the war. When we start drawing back from Iraq, a lot of the reason we haven't gone into a recession earlier in the early 2000s, like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, if we would have started our pullout of Iraq 2 or 3 years ago, you would have seen a recessionary trend then, because a lot of our economy is tied into what we're doing in the war. We're tons of dollars are being poured in our economy by the federal government. Now, that's, you can say that's good or bad. I personally think it's, you know, bad, because somebody's got to pay that bill at some date. We're just not paying it today. But that's pouring a ton of, what I say, false production capacity into our marketplace. And as we pull out of Iraq, we're going to see that, you know, gradually decline. And so that's going to be a huge cutback in many industries that are tied with that military-industrial complex as well. So you see all these trends, and of course, you know, I don't want to paint doom and gloom for you, because I'm kind of ecstatic. It's called reality, but you have to look at what can we do with it. We can make a difference, because that's when network marketing takes off. And how will it take off? Well, I suggest you, number one, the reason network marketing takes off in all these times is because it provides people an alternative form of income. Building residual income, an alternative form of income that gives them more security than a job, perhaps during these times. A lot of people get laid off, and they're looking for alternative streams of income. Not all of them are committed to retooling themselves and going back and going through 6 month or year-long retraining programs to get into another industry when they can get into network marketing at the cost of $99, right? It gives you a simple alternative. If you are choosing, on the other hand, to continue a path of presenting health and going out and getting people on health, and of course I still try to help people with health every opportunity I get, but if that's your exclusive mechanism, if you're not going to be out there presenting the business side of network marketing, I think that you're losing out in a huge way in 2008 and 2009 because of the recession. And so I really want you guys to really grapple with that. Those of you, some of you fighting the concept of introducing Manatech as a real viable resource for people to build financial security, really look at that and say to yourself, why am I avoiding this incredible opportunity? Because it's not going to, the people promoting exclusively health are not going to see the same results as people that are truly going out there providing an income opportunity. And I really find it really exciting that ICANN is here too. It's just another thing that just boosts me in saying, oh my gosh, what perfect timing. And of course, the Lord always has perfect timing. He laid this on my heart 2 months before the AG even filed suit, and it's a totally compliant program, and so we don't have to worry about any of that. We can get out of doctoring, and now to add on top of all that, we're going into a recession, which makes this program for, you know, because I know a lot of you are like me. We didn't really go out and promote the business as much as we could have or should have, and maybe some of us never, you know, presented the business. Now's the time you want to really approach it seriously of presenting it as an option for financial security. That's what you want to do, and that's what's going to trigger. That's what's going to be the part of network marketing that's going to be explosive in the next 12 to 24 months. So shift, make that make that shift to support people in building residual income streams, and just, you know, hang on with your life, because you're going to have people everywhere that are looking for this. I'll just share with you, too, that some of the feedback I'm getting from people is, like, they go, Mary Jo, I can't approach 10 people with I can in 1 month because I'm going to get more than one sign-up because everybody wants the income flow. It's amazing how many people wouldn't look at the health aspects but today are looking at the income flow. So, you know, and that's kind of been my experience with it as well. So I sit back and I say, wow, why wasn't I doing this earlier? But I think the timing has to be right. I think the tool has to be right. I think a system has to be right. I think the approach has to be right, and that's what makes the difference. I put in your outline today just what are some of the selling points of a network marketing business, and I just listed a whole flurry of those. And, of course, it's not exhaustive. There's so many. But for those of you who have a hard time thinking them through, really spend some time looking at those issues and develop some way that you feel confident in approaching people with that concept. And I've also been, you know, like working with some people and putting together some elevator speeches to help people break the ice with that, and I'll be more than happy to supply you some of the feedback on that, because I think it's important for us to know what we're going to say when somebody says, what do you do? And I've heard a lot of people, even presidentials, that say, you know, Mary Jo, I used to tell people I help people with their health and bring them to a new arena of security around, you know, operating a healthy lifestyle, and now they're saying, you know, when people say, what do you do for a living, you say, I help people secure themselves passive income streams that support their financial security. You know, a totally different statement than what they used to make 1 month ago, and isn't that a neat thing? So we're going to be developing more of that languaging to help everybody, because I think it's going to be imperative if you really want to see your business pop in 2008 and 2009, because I think that when people look at health, health can only be a priority when there's discretionary income, and when you go through a recession, what's drying up? The discretionary income. So let's solve the problem of creating that. And by solving that problem, you're going to be solving the problem of, you know, people being able to handle their health issues. So all those lists are there, and you can go through each and every one of them. Security, of course, in a recession with network marketing, you have security because you're your own boss. You don't have to worry about getting fired. You have financial freedom that you create through producing your residual income stream. Time freedom, of course, you know, now I truly believe in time freedom. I had a hard time believing it in the past because, you know, I kind of commit a lot of time to Manatech in my life. And, you know, I became a silver presidential, and I'm still committing a ton of time, so I kept saying, okay, where's that time freedom? You can look at time freedom many ways. Time freedom can be that I get to roll out of bed, and, of course, I get up between 6 and 8 every morning, but I get to roll out of bed, and I don't have to necessarily take a shower until 10 o'clock at night if I don't feel like it. So that could be some kind of level of freedom. But the concept of time freedom has never really struck me because, you know, I could walk away from this, but when you get involved in network marketing, I think that you have a heart and passion for people because that's what makes the business work. So when you get really successful at it, that means that you've really committed your heart and passion. Walk away from that, you know, because you just always want everybody else to be able to get to the level you're at, and you're going to continue committing to that, to these people that you've gotten involved in, leaders. Well, with the ICANN program, now I can see that truly you can, in 12 months, you can be out of it because the team concepts are self-perpetuating. People are empowered to take on their own roles. They don't have to become King Kong to make good residual income. So you can create residual income in a much more simpler fashion than what I knew to do in the past. So I think time freedom is really a huge one. And self-development, of course, that's Kiyosaki's number one reason for loving network marketing is the amount of self-development that takes place. Self-employed, no boss. So to me, this is a big one. You don't sacrifice your own values. You get to create your own standard for ethics in your business because it's your business, so you don't have to feel like you're compromising your ethics by people telling you to do things that you really don't feel comfortable doing. I listed time freedom again. How do you like that? I must have really been impressed with that one. Anyway, so the next one's purpose-driven. I think that that's mission-driven is huge. I think that a lot of people are stuck in jobs, 8 to 5s, and they don't feel purpose-driven or mission-driven at all. And I think with Manatech, clearly we can be totally mission-driven. I think that's one of the incredible aspects of ICANN, that's what it is, the whole starfish story underlying it. It's about us going out and making a difference in people's lives, not just our own, but other people. And that's so huge to be able to step up and do that. In fact, a lot of people are, that's why they're saying this doesn't even taste like network marketing, because they feel like it sounds like mission work is what the ICANN program is. It's a mission field. Unlimited income, again, there's no one telling you what you're worth. The residual aspect of the income, so it's passive and residual. It's repeating, it's repetitive, no matter what you do, and it's passive because you don't have to be actively involved in creating it. People are being able to dream again, get new hope, great relationships with people. You reduce your stress because of the freedom that's involved in it. Great incentives to, you get opportunities to travel the world that you may never have gotten in your life. No employees, although I do have one, Lydia, and she's terrific, so I'm really happy about that. But I think when they say no employees, you don't have to get an employee. You can choose that. It provides you the income resources to be able to do that. But you get to choose your employee. You don't have to have 100 or 200 and get everybody come in your office telling you their personal problems that you're trying to solve. And tax benefits, of course, are terrific, and on and on and on. But that's just, again, more ideas for you guys to work with as you're going out there and you're sharing the income opportunity and what it can present for people. And I put at the end, I just put, of course, ICANN fits this model perfectly as an approach to support people in gaining streams of residual income. You want to put your feet into this, people, and really, you know, really go out there, and people are going to have substantial economic needs. They're going to have incredible desires and wants to build financial security for their families. They're going to see a lot of that drift off in the next couple of years with the recession upon us, and you have an answer for them, an answer that is an incredible opportunity if they just want to step into it and do it. So my closing comment is strap yourself in and get ready for the ride of your life, because I really believe that this is going to trigger a huge boost. So going back to the question about investing in the stock of Manitech, I think that, you know, I'm not an investment advisor, but I'm going to tell you this company is going to be, you're going to be surprised 12 months from now where this company catapults itself to, and a lot of that is outside economic forces that are actually supporting our growth as we see this whole company make this big transition, in addition to all the incredible things that I see corporate, you know, aiming at, committing to support us and being as great as we can be in the field. So that's it. Okay, any questions? Anyone have any questions? Wow, we got a ton at 11 o'clock exactly. Anything?
Mary Jo, okay. Could you send us the elevator speeches?
Sure. I don't have them yet. I'm working with a team of people that are putting some together, and they're going to have those done by Wednesday, so I'll be more than happy to pass those on to you guys when I'm part of the Monday call. You bet.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Because it's hard sometimes. Don't you guys, do you guys agree that sometimes it's hard to come up with languaging? If your cat's got the tongue, or you just don't feel like you're very creative, or you're not in the mood of creativity, it's hard.
It is.
Yeah, and I just, you know, the issue is being really sensitive to that, because some of us just love, you know, I love it when I'm on the spot, but of course, you know, I have the legal training. I've done, you know, speaking and communicating has been my whole life, so to me, I love it when somebody asks me what I do, because, you know, I can create something right there at the spur of the moment off the top of my head and just kind of throw it out there. Some of you
Mary
go,
Jo.
Oh, my gosh, if I did that, it'd be jumble, dumble, dumble. Yeah, go ahead.
It's Gail.
Mary Jo.
So I remember seeing a graph somewhere of this pattern of recession versus unemployment and the success of network marketing. Do you know where that might be? Have you come across that in your...
I found one graph that was just of the 1970s. That
uh-huh.
was part of an article that was in Network Marketing. What was it in? I can't remember the name of the article. But I have a couple of articles. Do you want me to send the articles that I worked on in order to get this data for you guys? I can send those out.
Yeah, because I think, you know, making this presentation, if you had a picture that somebody could look at and say, oh, I see, this is really a good opportunity to get into network marketing,
mm-hmm.
that'd be a good business tool for us.
You bet. And let me, you know what, Gail, I think I've seen that somewhere.
Oh,
I didn't find it. I have two articles that are really right on target with what I reviewed here. In fact, a lot of the data came out of those articles that I put
uh-huh.
in. So I can get those in your hands. But in the meantime, let me do a little bit more research, see if I can dig something like that up. And maybe I can contact people at Network Marketing Time. Jill, there's certain people that might have greater access or fluency of materials that might be able to find that for us. But I agree with you. I think it'd be cool. And if we don't have it, the other thing I can do is I can get Lydia to do that.
Yeah.
Because the data has to be available that supports the number, you know what I mean, the numbers I
yeah,
said,
yeah.
obviously the economy. So maybe we can even draft that graph ourselves.
Uh-huh. Because
place.
If you
That'd
use that
cool
as, a, and as an opening statement, you know, to set the
mm-hmm.
tone for your presentation, people are going to pay attention to what we're saying is true. It's not just our thing trying to talk them
mm-hmm.
into something.
Love it. Great idea. Okay,
yeah.
good. So let's get something physical that's a picture of that. Great. And, you know, that might even be something that if I contact Sam, he might get somebody internal to do that for us at Manitou, right?
Super.
Why not get the company to research that and publish that? That'd be neat. Yeah.
Except we need it now.
I know. Thanks. I get it. We don't need it a month from now or 2 months from now. Exactly, because now is the time. It's hot right this moment, which
hot.
Is why I so desperately wanted to do this training today, because I wanted to highlight what our economy is hitting on right now and just really use it to your benefit. Right. Okay.
I know you can't tell us about
it.
Insider
okay.
trading, but
what?
If a person had put about $4,000 in, would you just leave it sit?
In what? In Manitech stock?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, you don't want to sell now. Oh, no, no, no.
No,
Sell, never sell your, I mean, unless you, you know, it's your belief system. I mean, I'm, you're, again. I'm
oh,
not,
no, no, I believe. I believe
you know,
it's going to take.
Like I
didn't
believe.
Know what
okay.
the, my
the
daughter should
thing
do.
Is you
she
never
had...
sell low and buy high. You always sell high and buy low. So now is not the time. In fact, people invest $4,000 in the stock at $10 or $11. Now is the time to take another $4,000 and buy some more. So what you do is you double down. You reduce your average prices per share that you bought.
Thank you,
but
dear.
But that's if you believe. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball for anyone.
No, 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 no.
No,
I believe
what
it's going to turn around.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, no question in my mind either. But again, that's my belief system, and I can't. You know, I'm not a professional stock advisor. I just know that I know. I've been through enough of years of Manitech to know that. You know, no matter how dire things might have looked, you know, but Ambertos, people, it works, you know. there's just something magical about it working, you know. And I know the energy of Al Bala, and he has just got some great ideas and great concepts, and he's so totally entrenched and committed in this that we're going to see this happen, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mary Jo.
And I think it's going to be fun to, you know, buy the stock at 4 or 5 and sell it at 16. Well, kind of a fun thing. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, Mary Jo, I have, and I don't know if you can do anything about this or tell us how we can. You know how they changed our checks so they don't send things out and you don't know who's got on automatic and how the breakdown is and who your initials are, you know, either you're getting paid for or you're not. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Is there any way or somebody we can get hold of about that? I've had a lot of people out here in the field say, you know, they just hate the fact that they've dropped all that information off.
Mm-hmm.
You can go in and get like a breakdown, but you don't get the big picture like you used to.
Yeah,
I know
you
if you're presidential
you mean, like,
and you're making a lot of money, that's not important.
Yeah, you mean like the names of the person that upgraded or the name of the person?
Yeah,
that...
we used to get that check where it broke down and showed you who was automatic on this month and if you got paid for regional, how you got paid, and as a national. And
mm-hmm.
and you can see how you're getting paid, and all of a sudden it makes sense to you and when you're explaining to somebody. But you know, with the business going down and everything like it has this year, it gave you a kind of an upmanship on who's dropping off, who, just kind of how things were.
Okay.
And they
What I can do is find out if there's a source for that information, the information they're leaving off the checks. I will ask that question and let you know.
Mary Jo.
Gail again. You can request, and I'm not sure from who, you can request an electronic printout of your entire check, and they'll send it to you via email, and then you can print it out, and it's pages long or whatever, and you can see all of that information. And I'm not exactly sure where you ask of that. I asked it so long ago, I've been getting that for a couple of years now.
I think there may be an MOD on that.
Mm-hmm. MOD, Manitech On Demand Documents, on demand. So check that out. The person who asked
uh-huh.
the question, check that out, see if it's there. If not,
okay.
You can just, the other thing you can do is just call somebody at customer service and find out.
I can call leadership. I didn't, you know, they give you the breakdown, but it's like you still aren't telling me what's going on. And I'd be glad to print it out because I've trained a lot of people off of that, and I kind
of
like to see myself.
Sure, great.
Okay, I'll just call Manitech.
Absolutely. Call leadership and find out where you can get that. Gail's, I'm
thank
sure
you
Gail's
very much.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Mary Jo, this is my first time on the call, and I see here that we can subscribe to the emails by going to manitrain.net. Does that give us an outline for what you're talking about today?
The outlines are automatic. Once you put your name on a Yahoo list, if you sign up for my Monday calls and put your name on the Yahoo list, you automatically get an outline every Monday morning or Sunday night for the call.
Great. This has been an incredible call. I appreciate it.
All the outlines are archived on the manager.
But wait a minute. Lydia's giving me, and all the calls are archived, MP3 files, plus the outlines are all posted there, too, so you can go there anytime, and you could print off an outline of a call I did 3 years ago, okay? All of them are posted.
Thank you.
There, Joe.
Lydia said you have to send, wait, let me get this straight. She's talking to me. Lydia says you have to sign up for individual emails. How do you sign up for just the Daily Digest? Okay, when you get in Yahoo, you have to choose individual email, not Daily Digest.
Okay.
If you sign up for Daily Digest, what happens is you'll get my outline, but you won't get attachments.
Okay.
Okay, because a lot of times I have attachments to my, so make sure you sign up for the individual email. That's the options, I guess, Yahoo gives you. So there's some more specifics to how to get on that. Okay, we had one more question.
I was going to say a source for the information that you're looking for may be the DSA.
Maybe the DSA might have that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Let me contact DSA. Got it?
Yeah,
but,
I would think that they would have statistics on direct spelling.
And maybe they even have the beautiful charts.
Yeah.
So I don't have to make one. Okay, good. All right, I'll contact
Did someone want the commission summary?
The commission
it's on the
summary,
front
call
page.
Leadership line or get your upline to call leadership line and find
no,
out
it's
who,
on the front,
how you can get
it. It's on the front page of Manage My Business.
Okay, that is just the summary. What I would like is the sheet that has 5 or 6, 7, whatever, that has everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is
so they send the summary to me. I just want to know more detail.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, guys, have a great week, and we'll be back in touch. And if you're working with ICANN, don't forget to call every Monday night at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. We have that call on ICANN where you can listen to people from the field, get some testimonials, feedback, new things we're doing, and then, just question answers for that as well so we can keep everybody on top. That's a weekly call that we're going to do for the entire year of 2008. So love you all. Have a great week, and we'll be back in touch next Monday. Bye.
Thanks,
Mary Jo. Thanks. The moderator has disconnected. The call will